Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, we magnify you. But you said you magnify your word above your name. So we magnify your word here tonight, Father. We magnify the word of God that it might be dealt with honestly and holy. And holy as you are holy. We lift up those who are in authority in this nation. Our president and senators and congressmen and governors, Father. And we ask that you would have their hearts. That you would tug at the heartstrings of every single one of them, Father. That they would hear you and be led by your spirit, not by the enemy. That they would support and stand up for the things that you hold dear to your heart. The first of which is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That they who dwell in there may live in safety and peace. You said that in the end of times, the enemy is going to come and try and divide Israel apart. But it is your holy land. And only the enemy seeks to divide it. Father, we just thank you right now for an undivided Israel. We thank you that you're working in Jerusalem and in Israel and in the Middle East. We thank you that you're the hand of protection that guards them. We thank you, Father, for this congregation, for this church, and for these people. And I ask, Father, for the blessing to be poured out in their lives, that they would be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, that their fields would be blessed, that their harvests would be blessed, that their incomes are blessed, that their homes are blessed in the name of Jesus. I call them blessed right now in Jesus' name. We speak out to this. Come on, speak out with me. We speak out to Pollock Pines right now, and we declare that Pollock Pines is the property of Jesus Christ. We take back what the enemy is trying to steal. We declare no more drug abuse. No more, no more. No more. No more abandoned children. No more broken homes. No more broken families in the name of Jesus. We speak shalom, the perfectness of nothing broken, nothing missing, everything in its place in Pollock Pines, in Jesus' name. This is our city, and this is our church, and this is our property, and Satan, you'll not have it. In Jesus' name, we take authority over it. We declare that the glory of God inhabits this place. We declare right now that from this place, moving out all over Pollock Pines and El Dorado County, that the glory of God is moving, that the glory of God is clearing out sin, that the glory of God is bringing righteousness. It's ringing in a new day of righteousness in this town in the name of Jesus. We declare it right now in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, Father. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you, Father, for our preschool. We thank you that it's abundantly above and beyond, that it's meeting and exceeding all of its needs and requirements and expectations. We thank you, Father, that Doreen has help from the sanctuary of God. We thank you, Father, that you're sending her helpers, helpers that are going to come alongside her and help her and not be a hindrance to her. We thank you, Father, for it. We thank you, Father, that the ministry of the preschool is touching lives and touching families by reaching out and helping the most innocent and helpless in our community. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I tell you what, I just feel the presence of God. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, I have been asked, and I'm going to deal with, we're going to talk about grace. Grace. Who knows what grace is? Can somebody give me the Webster's definition of grace? Go ahead, anybody. Unmerited favor. The Webster's definition is unmerited favor. In the church today, we take this grace of unmerited favor, and sometimes we kind of twist it to mean that means I can do whatever I want. That means I can live however I want to live. People are looking shocked at me like, people believe that? Yes, people believe that. People believe that the grace of God means that you can have whatever kind of lifestyle you want to have now, and that's okay. And that's just absolutely not true. 1 Corinthians 5. Everyone has heard that there is sexual immorality among you. This is a type of immorality that isn't even heard of among the Gentiles, a man having sex with his father's wife. And you're proud of yourselves instead of being so upset that one who did this thing is expelled from your community. Though I'm absent physically, I'm present in the spirit, and I've already judged the man. Well, I thought we were under grace. I've already judged the man who did this as if I were present. When you meet together in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'll be present in spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus. At that time, we need to hand this man over to Satan to destroy his human weakness so that his spirit might be saved on the day of the Lord. Your bragging isn't good. Don't you know that a tiny grain of yeast makes the whole batch of dough rise? Clean out the old yeast so you can be a new batch of dough, given that you're supposed to be unleavened bread. I thought we were under grace. Paul said this guy, you know, this goes back to Deuteronomy, where the law is being given, and it actually says that if a man is sleeping with his father's wife, you're to take him out and stone him. Well, I thought we weren't under the law anymore. Oh, no. We still have to obey the law of God. The law of God never stops. You can see that very clearly here. I have found in my life that knowing what not to do is sometimes more valuable than knowing what to do. Because sometimes if you know what to do, maybe you don't know the consequences of what you're doing. God doesn't always tell us everything we need to know. I remember we were living in Napomo, and it was right after Faith was born, and Kathy and I were at church, and the Lord said, I want you to move to Idaho. I said, okay. So we did. We sold our house. My parents loaded up their fifth-wheel trailer. We got in the Suburban. I loved my Suburban. Oh, that's a dream car, man, the Suburban. It just drives like you're on air. And we were getting ready that morning. We were going to leave. And I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm drinking my coffee, and I'm reading the Bible. And the Lord said, when you get to Idaho, if I tell you to come back, will you? And I laughed, right? Faith starts laughing. She's like, what? I said, that's how I felt too. I said, well, yeah, but you're not going to do that. A month later, go back. I want you to go to a different church. Moved us to Idaho to get us to switch churches because we were so entrenched and so involved in the church we were in that if he had said go, we wouldn't have heard him. He didn't tell us why we were going. If he had, I'd have said, well, we don't need to do all that. We can just switch churches. The pastor at the other church said, if you'd have just switched churches, I never could have used you. But because you moved away and came back, I can use you in this place now. What does that have to do with grace? Not a whole lot. Well, not everything has to do with everything. Acts 5, 1 through 9. We have talked about this before, and I'll just share the story with you. People in the church were selling their properties, and they were giving all that they had to the church voluntarily. Ananias and Sapphira sold some property. Ananias came in and said, well, here's the money for the property we sold. We got this much for it. Really? Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit, Ananias? While the property was still yours, couldn't you have sold it for whatever amount you wanted to sell it for and then given whatever portion you wanted? But you conspired against the Holy Ghost and lied. He dropped dead. Praise the Lord for the age of grace. Hey, it's good to know that sin is not excluded in grace. 3 hours later, his wife comes in, tells the same story, and they tell her the same thing. You conspired with your husband to lie to the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, you conspired together to lie to me, Peter. Who were they lying to? Face to face, they were lying to Peter, but who were they lying to? They were lying to God. She dropped dead, and the men who carried out her husband's body carried her out as well. So far we have sexual immorality is not covered by grace. Right? Lying is not covered by grace. Well, I thought that grace was there to cover our sins. No. No. Grace is not about just making up however we want to live and then asking God to bless it. I worked for the Salvation Army. Great organization. My great uncle founded the Salvation Army. My dad and I both spent many, many hours and years working at the Salvation Army. My boss said, well, we want to get such and such done. And I said, well, you know, I need to talk to so-and-so about that. And she says, well, no, you don't. Sometimes you just go ahead and do something, and then if you find out you're wrong, you repent later. But I know what's wrong now. So am I responsible if I know that it's wrong now? James says, he who knows the good and does not do it, to him it is sin. What is the good? What are the good works? What is good? Obeying God. Obeying what he says. Obeying his commandments. Obeying his instructions. Following after what he tells us to do. That's good. If we know that good thing and we don't do it, it is sin. Right? Hey, listen, I'm not making this up. James 5:9. Don't complain about each other, brothers and sisters, so that you won't be judged. Look, the judge is standing at the door. This is James, brother of Jesus. He's saying, don't complain. Because if you do, the judge is standing at the door. What is the judge going to do about complaining? Do you know what he did about complaining in the wilderness? Oh, you just brought us out here in the wilderness to die. Oh, if only we'd stayed in Egypt and we had onions and garlic and leek. Oh, we had it so good in Egypt. How quick we forget how bad we had it in Egypt. They complained. What happens to them? They get to spend 40 years in the wilderness dying off. The grace of God got them out of Egypt and was taking them to a better place. They had manna from heaven. Never, I want some manna from heaven. I've got garlic. I like garlic. I love onions. I mean, you're not cooking if you don't have onions and garlic. That's what Mama Gentry says. It's not food if there's not onions and garlic in it. Well, I probably wouldn't want them in my pancakes. I don't know. I'm sure in Gilroy they've got a garlic pancake, don't they? I don't know. All right. Let's do it this way. Hebrews. Oh, Galatians. Turn to Galatians. Galatians 1:9 says, as we have said before and now say again, if anyone preaches to you gospel contrary to what you've received, a curse be on him. Really? For preaching something other than what Paul preached, a curse should be on someone. I thought we were under grace. Well, this is the age of grace, isn't it? Let a curse be on him who speaks anything contrary to the gospel that Paul preached. This is the age of grace. Grace is not an opportunity for us just to live and do and be however we want to be and go to church on Wednesdays and Sundays to feel better about ourselves and then live like the world every other day of the week. God is holy. He says, I am holy, be thou holy also. I know this seems hard, but this is the thing that's going to help you. See, I'm going to preach what's going to help. If this helps me, when I'm studying for this, it's helping me think of, are there things that I'm doing? Are there some things in me that I need to straighten out? Things that I've deceived myself about? See, that's the thing. You know, the Bible says, the little foxes spoil the vine. Or it says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. See, if you don't put any leaven or yeast in a bread mix, it ain't going to rise, is it? You put a little bit in and give it some time, it will rise, won't it? It will rise. Because the yeast infects the entire lump of dough. The little foxes affect the entire vine. So when we've got some misunderstood interpretation of something that we heard somewhere, or the world tells you, oh, grace, grace, oh, just have grace. When I was living like the world, my mom called everyone she knew to find out, is the way he's living going to get him out of heaven? Is it going to keep him in hell? Well, yeah, I was living bad. I was doing everything contrary to what you're supposed to do. Was there a way for me into heaven? No. Hebrews. Now we'll get to Hebrews. I know this is hard. See, here's the thing about this. God loves us. And he has given us everything we need for life and godliness through Christ. He's given us everything we need in his word so that we can live godly lives for him. Not so that we can live just however we want. Hebrews 10. Am I reading you anything that's not scripture? Am I giving you personal opinions? Hebrews 10, 26. Every message can't be on, you know, shiny ornaments and angels. And we've got to have a balance. Hebrews 10, 26. For if we live deliberately, if we deliberately sin, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire about to consume adversaries. If anyone disregards Moses' law, he dies without mercy based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think one will deserve who has trampled on the Son of God, regarded as profane the blood of the covenant by which he was sacrificed, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who has said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. This is the New Testament. If we deliberately go around sinning, I'm not talking about, you know, maybe you don't understand. There's different areas where we're missing it. Where we know kind of what God says about something, but we're not really sure and we're not really applying it to our lives properly. That's not deliberate sin. But if we go out after we've received salvation and deliberately sin. See, Ananias and Sapphira deliberately sinned. They deliberately did something they knew was wrong. And they were just hoping that it would be okay. Their expectation was nothing was going to happen to them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. Deliberate sin. Deliberate sin. Jude 1:4. The funny thing about Jude is you don't have to say 1:4. Because there's only one chapter. Jude 1, verse 4. For some men who were designated for this judgment long ago have come in by stealth. They're ungodly, turning the grace of our God into, what is it? Promiscuity. Or sensuality. Or lewdness. And denying Christ, Jesus Christ, our only Master and Lord. This word sensuality there, or promiscuity, licentiousness, whatever you have in your version, the definition is outrageous conduct. How's this? Conduct shocking to public decency. A wanton violence, wantonness, lewdness. Properly violent spite, which rejects restraint and indulges in lawless insolence, lawlessness. Anything that is contrary to what God has said, if we go out and we just live any old way, we can't do that. We're called to be holy as he is holy. We can't just say, well, you know, modern society says it's okay. No, I don't care what modern society says. Just because modern society says something doesn't mean it's true. Modern science says that the earth is how many billions of years old? Like 45 billion years old? How? 14 billion years old. Okay? The Bible says that God created it all roughly 6,000 years ago. Now if you use Peter and he says a thousand years is as a day and as a day is as 1,000 years, then it's possible that creation took place over 6,000 years. Right? It's possible. And then God rested on the seventh day. If you were here, we learned that rest isn't just laying back on the couch taking a nap. It's sitting in your proper seat. Resting. As a king rests in his throne. He sits in his throne. His position of authority. Romans 6:1. I feel like Joel Osteen. No, he actually did a sermon, and he said he started out with talking about that pork isn't food, and then he said, "Don't worry about it. The ushers are guarding the doors. You can't escape." Because he just goes back and he reads, and everybody knows Joel Osteen. I mean, he's just love and grace and mercy and man. But you know what? He's following Bible. Bible says there are certain things that are food, certain things that aren't food. Romans 6:1. What should we say then? Should we continue to in sin so that grace may multiply? Verse 2. Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Shall we continue? See, some people will say that grace is what it's the band-aid that just covers over whatever kind of sin you prefer to have, so that it's covered, your sin is covered under the band-aid of grace, and that's not how grace works. It's not how grace works. 2 Corinthians, we're going to close out with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, it is important to know what grace isn't, so we understand more what it is. Now that we understand what it isn't. This is Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. For if I want to boast, I will not be a fool, because I will be telling the truth. But I will spare you so that no one can credit me with something beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations. Therefore, because of the extraordinary revelations, therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. What is the thorn in the flesh? A messenger of Satan to torment me so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In the preceding chapter coming up to this, Paul is talking about all that he has suffered for in his traveling and sharing the gospel in different lands on his missionary journeys. He's been shipwrecked, left for dead, bit by a viper. Some places they want to exalt him as a god. Other places they want to stone him. Three times he was whipped to almost death. He was lowered over the city gates, thought to be dead after being stoned. He said, but I will not boast in these things. Therefore, because of the exceeding revelation, when you have a revelation from God, it elevates you as a person, because now you have a greater understanding of God. Right? Paul, who said, I pray in tongues more than you all, had greater revelation on the Word of God and wrote the majority of the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, the epistles, the Pauline epistles. And in his epistles, he expounds on what is written in the Old Testament and gives us a fresh revelation through the eyes of Jesus, through salvation, to reveal what was in the Old Testament. And because of this exceeding revelation that he has, Satan sends a messenger. What's the messenger? It's persecution. It's being beaten. It's being left for dead. Paul asked if Jesus would remove that. He said, I can't. But my grace, my strength, grace is strength. It's the ability, it's the power. It says here that the grace was power. Christ's power may reside in me. Was Paul ever killed through all of that stuff? No, he was left for dead almost several times, but it did not kill him. And every single time he came back and he continued to go out. Why? Because the Lord's grace was sufficient for him. his strength to go out and face the persecution and face the troubles and face the tribulations that were out there. He was able to do that because of grace. Grace in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It's by grace through faith that you've been saved. It's God's ability in us working with our faith to get us saved. It's always him reaching out. In the Hebrew alphabet, it's always God, the great man, the ox in the house, who's always reaching out with his hand to save. Jesus said in John 16, "In this world, you will have tribulation, but do not fear, for I have overcome this world." Come on. It's his grace, his ability that helps us. It's not grace that just covers things up so we can live however we want. It's grace, his strength, his ability that enables us to live for him. "When I am weak, then I am strong. I will boast then in my weaknesses so that in his grace, his power will be shown through me." Because if I get a bad testimony, if I get a bad report, if someone comes against me, if someone's screaming in my face, I can stand there in the grace of God and I can just love them and I can keep moving on. If I didn't have the grace that helps me to keep moving on, then I'm going to end up like Snow White. Remember Snow White? I preached about Snow White a while back. Snow White. she's chased after by her stepmother. The evil queen wants to kill her, sends her out with the huntsman. She's running through the forest. You've all seen the movies. Oh, it's all dark, and every tree's alive, and every creeping thing. And she falls on the ground in a puddle of herself, crying. And in the morning when she wakes up, all the cute little woodland creatures are there. All the cute little woodland creatures, the little bunnies and the little bluebirds. And she sees the quaint little cottage off in the corner. And everything's going to be fine now. But if she had just kept going in the grace, if she'd been working in the grace of God, she could have just said, "Okay, this is just a dark forest. I'm just going to go through." Right? Because sometimes we just have to go through. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is this okay? Is this helping you? Praise the Lord. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray and dismiss. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your grace, your enabling power that helps us. Oh, your grace is the only enabler we need. We don't need mommy and daddy enabling us to get away with sin. We need your strength and your grace to enable us to live for you. We thank you, Father. We bless you in the name of Jesus. You are dismissed. Amen.